Welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Sergio Bosco, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Wednesday, April 17, 2024, as usual via the shortwaves of WRMI frequency 5850 kHz. This program is aired Mondays to Fridays at 10:30 p.m. UTC time via Miami Radio International and is live via rae.com.ar, our webpage. You can also listen to it as a podcast on that same URL. On today's program, in addition to the news and the sports, we'll have a chat with an American who used to live or lives on and off in Argentina and has a very popular Instagram account and TikTok account called Yankee in Argentina, no? Yankee, as we pronounce it here in Argentina. So we'll be talking about her experience with us, okay? If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street, 555 BA, Argentine Republic. Both ways are okay for sending reception reports if you are a DXA. Remember that you can also listen to us via the app of RAE that you can download for free for mobile devices, a digital RAE available for Android and Apple mobile devices. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. The northern border of Argentina remains on alert due to the Israel-Iran crisis. Supreme Court dismisses challenges to President Milei's mega reforms decree. Argentina formalized the purchase of warplanes from Denmark. The Peruvian government defended the pardon of former President Alberto Fujimori before the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. Water rationing continues in Colombia's capital, Bogotá. Sports, League Cup quarterfinals ties decided, River Boca Superclásico to take place. And these are the news. Because of the conflict between Israel and Iran, the Argentine government maintains a high alert level along the nation's northern border. In the rest of the country, meanwhile, the alert has been downgraded from orange to moderate. In addition, the Bolivian government has announced that it will formally protest against the statements made by Argentine Security Minister Patricia Bullrich. In an interview, Bullrich had revealed the possibility of Iranian armed groups in the neighboring country. Bullrich also claimed that the Hezbollah militia had been detected in Iquique, Chile. And for this reason, Chilean President Gabriel Boric also announced that he will present a formal complaint to Buenos Aires. Meanwhile, Casa Rosada announced that President Javier Milei will stop taking scheduled flights for security reasons. All in all, the US Congress endorsed the ruling by the Argentine judiciary that holds Iran responsible for two terrorist attacks in Buenos Aires. This was stated by the heads of foreign relations in both houses, Senator Ben Cardin and Representative Michael McPaul. The Cassation Court of Argentina concluded last week that Tehran ordered the bombing of the Israeli embassy in 1992 and the Amia Community Center in 1994. Those two attacks in the Argentine capital left a total of more than 100 dead. The Supreme Court dismissed challenges to the mega-reform decree that President Milei sighing a few days after taking office back in December. Justices rejected two appeals that have been filed by the government of the province of La Rioja on the one hand and a group of lawyers on the other. It is worth mentioning that the court did not rule on the merits of the case, that's to say, whether the decree is constitutional or not. It only dismissed the claims because those who filed them did not have the power to do so. Milei's DNU, as it's called in Argentina, this executive order, repeals dozens of laws that, according to his government, it needs to eliminate in order to open up the economy and encourage investments and job creation. Meanwhile, the International Monetary Fund has confirmed its forecast of recession for the Argentine economy in 2024. The information comes from its latest World Economic Outlook report. According to this analysis, Argentina's GDP will fall by 2.8% this year, but it is expected to grow by 2025. In connection with the IMF, Cabinet Chief Nicolás Posse and Economy Minister Luis Caputo traveled to Washington for the World's Body Spring Conference. The Argentine government has finalized the purchase of 24 F-16 warplanes from Denmark. Defense Minister Luis Petri signed the agreement in Copenhagen with Danish authorities. The US-made aircraft will reinforce the Argentine Air Force fleets, according to official sources. Petri said later in a statement, "Today, we are completing the most important military or aeronautical acquisition since 1983. The F-16s date from 1978, but were modernized and equipped with the best technology," the minister said. "Thanks to this investment," he then added, "we are beginning to recover our air sovereignty." Argentina will pay $600 million for this transaction over the next 5 years, according to official information. The Peruvian government defended the pardon benefiting former President Alberto Fujimori before the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. The 85-year-old was serving a sentence for human rights violations but was released last year on humanitarian grounds. The commission had asked Lima to postpone his release until judges had analyzed the situation, but Fujimori was released in December. Peruvian Justice Minister Eduardo Arana told a press conference yesterday that his country has acted in accordance with its internal and external legal framework. "We are respectful of the Inter-American human rights system to which Peru is a member," he explained. But he warned that the Peruvian state will not allow its sovereignty to be affected by unfair decisions that are invading our constitutional system. The former president was convicted for two massacres of civilians during his administration between the years 1990 and 2000 in the context of the conflict with leftist guerrillas. Water rationing continues in Colombian capital Bogotá due to low water levels in the reservoirs from which the supply comes. As a result, the city's inhabitants are unable to wash dishes, to take long showers, or to use the toilet normally. The mayor of Bogotá, Carlos Fernando Galán, acknowledged that the situation is critical and remarked that this is the lowest level of these reservoirs since they began operating back in the 1980s. At the moment, there are rotating cuts in the water supply network of between 12 and 24 hours. For the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, the situation is another consequence of global warming. And now, sports. The quarterfinals of the Copa de la Liga have been completed. Yesterday, Boca qualified by beating Godoy Cruz, the leaders, 1-0. The squad from Mendoza province, it is worth mentioning, had already secured the first place in the next phase. Meanwhile, Estudiantes de La Plata advanced to the next round after beating Lanús 2-1, and Defensa y Justicia took fourth place by defeating Newell's 1-0. Racing Club crashed out of the competition despite a 4-0 win over Belgrano de Córdoba. With these results, the quarterfinals of the League Cup will be as follows: Estudiantes versus Barraca Central, Godoy Cruz versus Vélez Sarsfield, Argentinos Juniors versus Defensa y Justicia, and the Super Clásico, the Super Derby, Boca River. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
Okay, folks, now on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio, we're going to be talking to Nicole Felter, an American national who lived here in Argentina for a time. Well, actually, she lives on and off, as I understand. She started an Instagram account, and I think it's a TikTok account as well, called Yankee in Argentina, Yankee in Argentina, in which, well, she talks about, well, cultural shocks and her experience living in this country. Now, she's back in the US, but she continues to post content about, well, the differences between both cultures and particularly her experience with Argentina. Hello, Nicole. Thank you for listening and thank you for being there.
Oh, my. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat today.
Great. Well, why don't we start with your story? What's your connection to Argentina? How did you come to Argentina and when?
I love it. Okay, perfect. So I originally went to Argentina in 2015, and I went to study abroad. I knew nothing about Argentina. I didn't do any research before I got there. So I went on a whim, and it was incredible. I fell in love with Argentina, and I ended up meeting my now husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of 2015, I left Argentina, went to go finish my undergrad in the U.S., and I ended up moving. I was spending time between Argentina and the U.S. During that time, and then officially ended up moving back to Argentina permanently at the end of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, lived there up until last year in February, so 2023. So I lived there for 6 years after that. And just, it was incredible, you know, made friends, you know, grew my family, worked, and so now I have two children who are 5 and 2, and so, yeah, it was just really great, and so that's a little bit of my story without going too much into...
Amazing. Well, the main reason is that, well, you fell in love, like many people, no? You met,
yeah,
your significant other somewhere else, and that transformed your life into a binational life, and your family into a binational family.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you live in Buenos Aires, no? We're talking about Buenos Aires.
Yes, I was living in Buenos Aires at, mm-hmm, the time.
Where exactly?
So I was at first, I stayed in Palermo the whole time, mm-hmm, but then at the end I lived in Las Cañitas, which,
good,
was always my dream to live in Las Cañitas,
mm-hmm,
so I was very, very happy.
It's a very, very nice neighborhood, we're telling our listeners, in the northern,
yes,
part of Buenos Aires, near the, it's near the Hipódromo, no? The race court.
Yes. Yes,
just,
yes,
by,
yes,
it. Yeah? Lovely. Well, and why don't you tell us about your account, Yankee in Argentina? When did you come up with the idea of posting and uploading content about that?
Okay, this is great because I have never got to share this story publicly. But so, you know, I fell in love with Argentina. I really took on the culture. And for me, you know, I consider myself Argentinian at this point. I even have Argentinian citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was great that I was able to adapt so well to the country and to the language. And, you know, a lot of times now in the U.S., people think I'm Argentinian when they hear me speak Spanish because I sound so Argentinian, right? And so one day I was having dinner with some of my husband's family, and they had just been telling me, you know, how great my accent was,
mm-hmm.
and that I should start making an account and start sharing it because, you know, there's so many other people who are sort of like doing this from different countries and, of course, also from Argentina who have like picked up the accent and talk so greatly about the country. And so I ended up making an account from there. I was a little bit nervous at first, but then it sort of took off, and mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, express my love for Argentina, talk about, as you said, some of the things that have shocked me, you know, surprised me, maybe some
yeah.
of the things that I don't like so much,
yeah,
some
yeah.
of the things that I miss about the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been a really great outlet for me to, you know, connect with an Argentinian audience, also teach people about how great Argentina is compared
yeah,
to the U.S. In some aspects. And so that's kind of been a little bit of my journey.
How many followers does the account have now?
Yeah, so right now in TikTok I have 42,000 followers, and
awesome.
On Instagram I have 26,000 followers. I started my Instagram like later than my TikTok, so excited to see how that
good.
Sort of
well, goes. Well, we advise everybody to check it out because it's pretty funny. And actually, I wanted to talk about some of the issues that you talk about. For example, let's start with the cultural shock. So going back to 2016, that first year, what were the top three, five cultural shocks?
Oh my gosh. All right. There's so many. Okay. So some of the things, and I have to say, like getting to know more about the culture came from really being with my husband, right? Like going to visit his family in the countryside, like getting to know them more, because I think when you're
sorry. Is your husband is from the countryside? It's not from Buenos Aires.
So, no, my husband is from Buenos Aires, but he has family that lives in Magdalena.
Magdalena, yeah, to the south.
Yes. Okay, so he has family that's in Magdalena, and then he also has family that lives in Branson, and so mm-hmm. I would go out there and visit them, and I think, like,
That's proper campo, countryside, pampas, asado, flat grasslands, typical gaucho land.
Oh, yes, and I love it, especially the asado part. That's my favorite part, obviously.
Yeah.
But when I started dating him and really got to see, like, more of the intricate side of Argentinian culture, some of the things that surprised me, and I think about this a lot, is, one, that, like, Argentinians didn't waste food, right? And so with thinking about something so minimal like that in the U.S., you know, maybe when you're eating, you still have some food left on your plate, but you just throw it out. Right?
Yeah. You're
not going to save it. But in Argentina, like, we would save everything.
Absolutely. For a sandwich.
We save everything. We're not throwing any food out.
Yeah, obviously. For the sandwich, for the school food for the kids. Actually, you don't get away, get rid of anything, especially if it's meat.
No, especially if it's meat. You can use it on anything. But no, leftovers, we're not throwing anything out in my house. And so that's been something that's, like, I think kind of also shocked my parents as they've seen that as we get that, as, you know, we move back to the U.S.
So in the U.S., I'm curious. In the U.S., I mean, you have half a plate of perfectly eatable food and you just throw it out?
I would say, maybe not like half a plate, but yeah, I would say that it's very common here for people to have food left on their plate, or like maybe if there's not that much food left over in, you know, like let's say you make a dish of pasta and you still have some food left in a bowl, but it's not that much, like they'll just throw it out. And so when I went to Argentina, I was like, this is so crazy. I love it though, because I prefer not to have any food waste. That was something that was a shock to me. And then also something that has you know, been a reverse culture shock upon moving back to the U.S., of course, is that in Argentina, like, people fixed everything, right? So you don't find that people are buying new TVs every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. No,
or,
no,
you know,
we can't, actually.
That it's not working. No, you can't because of the economic situation,
yeah.
And obviously, and that's something that I think is notable maybe about the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times it's more expensive to bring something to go get fixed.
Yeah,
rather than
to order it online and get it shipped to your house. Yeah, so
and it's awful. It's so wasteful.
Yeah, definitely. And now, Nicole, it's something that I've noticed. Many people in your situation, I mean, especially American expatriates, they always emphasize, maybe being an Argentine, we don't notice that so much, the importance that we give to personal relationships, family ties, friends, being with others, spending time with your loved ones, vis-a-vis the U.S. Apparently, this is a very, very big difference and a big plus for living in Argentina.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me cry. I'm getting emotional just thinking about this because I think when I was living in Argentina, I will be like, that's not true. Like, you know, people in the U.S., they are very family-oriented. And they are. I will say that they are. But I was also, every time I was coming back, I was always spending time with a lot of family. Now that I'm living back in the U.S., like, I can say it's not very, like, I don't really spend that much time with my family outside of my parents, really. And actually, my son, who's 5, we were talking the other day, and he was like, you know, I really miss Argentina.
Because,
you know, we would always do, we would always go out to the campo, and when we went out to the campo for, like, barbecues on Sundays and to spend time with family, like, it was like all the cousins would come, right, cousins who were his age, and we would all just spend a bunch of time together, and there would be, like, 10, 12 of us, and it was kind of funny, and it also made me sad, but he was like, you know, when we were in Argentina, we would always have this time with all the family, and now that we're here in the U.S., like, it's only us,
wow.
And Gigi and Papa, those are my parents, and he was like, there's only 6 of us.
Wow.
Like, I want to be where there's more of us, and
yeah.
You know, made me emotional.
Now, it's you.
That, so.
Now, it's you who's going to make me cry, so. So,
and he's only 5.
Yeah. Both your kids were born here in Argentina.
No. So my son was born in the U.S., but that's because I was so sick during my pregnancy with him that I went home. My parents could, you know, help me and support me. But my daughter, she was born in Argentina. But we moved after I had my son. We moved right back to the Argentina, like when he was 2 months old.
No, this is so very interesting. We're talking to Nicole Felter. She's got this Instagram account and TikTok account called Janky in Argentina. You have content in both Spanish and English.
Yes.
Okay, good. So, well, it's good for listeners of this show who may be curious about our Argentine culture, but seen from the perspective of an expat or a former expat, you can check out Nicole's account, Janky in Argentina. Now, obviously, we could talk for hours about this, and I'd like to invite you to the Spanish show when you are here in Argentina, whenever that is.
Yes.
But to wrap it up before the end, because we have to sign off in a couple of minutes, I'd like to ask you quickly. Your toolbox, I mean, your Argentine cultural features that are part of your toolbox and are useful now that you're back in the U.S. Argentine features that we can find in Nicole now.
Okay, my Argentine features that you can find in me now are, one, I would say I'm not as trusting of people as maybe I used to be. Like, maybe I'm not so naive, which I think is something very valuable that Argentina taught me. I think also something that Argentina taught me was to not talk too much, right? So, you know, say what you have to say and then let the conversation go from there rather than just talking and talking, especially if you're, like, trying to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just say that another thing that's very like Argentinian about me now is, oh, just the way that I approach time. So maybe before on the weekends, you know, I used to be like very rushed and want to do a million things. And now I'm just like, no, let's take it slow, enjoy time. And so I think those are. That's my Argentinian toolbox.
Especially on the weekends. Well, Nicole, finally, let me ask you your favorite Argentine word that you incorporated to your vocabulary now.
Oof, oh my God. Okay, I feel so on the spot with it. I would say, okay, it's not so much a word as much as like a phrase. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I love más o menos, which I feel like is so it doesn't really have that much of a meaning, but in English, más o menos, which would be so-so, it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah,
like, when you say más o menos, I feel like it has so much more meaning than, like, so-so, you know?
Yeah, but más o menos has got more meanings. I mean, it's more powerful.
Yes.
Más o menos.
I know that's not like the most interesting thing, but I love más o menos.
Excellent. Well, Nicole, thank you very much for this. I trust that you come to our show and do this in Spanish for a longer time. Congratulations on your account, which is Junkie in Argentina, and thank you very much for this contact with RAE.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day, and I can't wait to see you in August.
Okay, thank you. All the best. That was Nicole Felter talking to us from Washington, D.C. She's got this Instagram account, Junkie in Argentina. Former expat, two kids, married to an Argentine, and loves our culture, our country, too. Well, this way we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior in English. Sergio Bosco was our sound technician. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Hasta mañana.